The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 26, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 11th, 2015, in Toronto, Canada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamashtaram tatas tato nayam yaitad atmanyeva visham niyat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Purport. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady. But a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. One who controls the mind, and therefore the senses as well, is called Goswami or Swami. And one who is controlled by the mind is called Godas, or the servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesha, or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakon Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, each and every one of us has to deal with something called the mind. Now, how you deal with that thing called the mind will make you or break you. We have a big problem in the modern day society. No one knows how to control their minds, and people go crazy all the time. But actually, it's a matter of relative craziness. The whole world is crazy at the present moment. Some are more crazy and some are less crazy, but the whole world is crazy because they do not know how to control their minds, and because they do not know how to control their minds, they are suffering in so many varieties of ways. So there is a science called Krishna consciousness, which teaches one how to perfectly control the mind
so that one can have a wonderful, sublime existence, no matter what's going on externally. You see, this is the real point. Your happiness does not depend on the external situation. Your happiness or unhappiness is simply determined by how you're controlling your mind. If you can fix your mind in transcendence, where life is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, you'll always be happy. So it doesn't matter if it's hot, it's cold, it's wet, it's dry, whether you're rich or poor, famous, infamous, sick, healthy, young or old, it doesn't matter, black or white, green or yellow, it doesn't matter. If you simply can learn how to bring your mind under control, then you can taste the highest happiness at every minute. So our beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was a perfect spiritual master who knew precisely, perfectly how to keep his mind fully and totally controlled at every minute by keeping it always absorbed in Krishna, the Supreme Person. There are other types of transcendentalists who try to control the mind just by keeping it fixed on one point. This was my first introduction to the science of meditation. I was taught to sit and stare at a candle. Keep your mind fixed on the candle. And I did that, but I didn't feel anything different. Because what is there in the candle? It's material, you see. The difference between a candle and the vibration Krishna is, the vibration Krishna is a transcendental sound vibration. It is not of this material world. So if one can fix his mind instead of a candle, fix it on Krishna, that fixity of mind then will elevate the consciousness beyond the material plane. So right now, our consciousness is completely, totally engrossed in the material plane, in which we are dragged by the laws of nature through birth, death, old age and disease. Not a very pleasant scenario. But if one can take help from this greatest of all spiritual masters, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who teaches in his books, especially we recommend Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is the basic primer for the one who wants to turn on the actual self within. Doesn't want to be remain entangled in the darkness of illusion of a bodily identification. If you will take advantage of these sublime teachings of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, then you will learn there is another dimension beyond this material existence. A dimension where everything is wonderful, everything is sweet, it's full of love, it's full of harmony, it's melodious, it's colorful, it's fragrant, it has everything you could ever want. And it's right there, right now, waiting for you. It's right there within you. You just have to learn how to connect with it, that's all. You see? By not connecting with it, well, you're cheating yourself, grossly cheating yourself. And by connecting with it, it's the most logical, commonsensical thing you could ever do in millions and billions of lifetimes. It's like being a pauper while you have $1 billion worth of treasure buried in your backyard. I mean, it's not very intelligent. You have $1 billion worth of treasure buried in your backyard, you're living a life of poverty. You see? So Prabhupada has given us a shovel, and he's told us where to dig and how to dig so we can tap into that unlimited wealth of Krishna consciousness, which is there within. It's actually not a difficult process. I remember that wonderful day in the summer of 1972, when I first heard the words emanating from the lotus mouth of this lotus mouth of this great personality, Srila Prabhupada. He gave the most wonderful lecture. We had a festival. You've heard of Ratha Yatra. Of course you've heard of Ratha. This is one of the capitals of Ratha Yatra. But in the old days, there was just one Ratha Yatra in San Francisco. And Prabhupada flew in for the Ratha Yatra festival. He went straight from the airport to the Ratha Yatra site. He got up on Subhadra Devi's cart and gave a little talk before the parade began. And it was mostly hippies. There was maybe 300 devotees and 3,000 hippies. Remember? It seemed like there was 30,000, but you know, it was a big crowd, huge crowd. And Prabhupada said, "You've all seen God." And the hippies loved that when they heard that. "You've all seen God." They really related immediately. They connected with Prabhupada as soon as they heard, "You've all seen God." And he said, "Because Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon." And then he gave us another way of connecting with Krishna or God. He said, every day, he says, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Rasoham apsukanteya." I am the taste of water. So he said, every day you are drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. So if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious, it is not difficult. It simply requires practice. So there it is. You're drinking water, aren't you? Sure, we're all drinking water. So if every time you drink water, you remember Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you enter into the transcendental dimension. So the idea is just keep doing that at every minute in everything that you do. Find a way to connect with Krishna in everything that you do. You see, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, find a way to connect your thoughts, your words and your deeds with Krishna. And if you do that, you won't be living here in the material world. You'll be living in the spiritual world at every minute. Well, so I'm going to ask if there's any questions. We have about 23 minutes. And I love questions, by the way. I love challenging questions, too. Because this Krishna consciousness movement, this Krishna consciousness philosophy can answer all questions. So if there's any questions, feel free to raise your hand and speak up. There's a question back here. Now you help me, Mahabhagavan. You come here and you can tell me what he's asking.
I can speak loud. Okay. Do you have a working definition for Krishna consciousness?
Do you have a working definition for Krishna consciousness?
Well, there's a nice definition in Sanskrit. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita is the Sanskrit definition, which literally means to relish the mellows of loving devotional service to Krishna. So that's the definition. One who relishes the mellows of loving devotional service to Krishna, that is called Krishna consciousness. So what does that mean? Let's expand that a little further. There is a supreme source for all existence. And that source is actually a person. That person is Krishna or God. So that is the center of all energy flow within the entire existence, Krishna. He is the center of all energy flow. Everything, all energy emanates from him. So when you connect with that supreme source of energy, you're really connected. You see, you're really connected. So just like in your body, the belly is a center of energy. You feed food to your belly. The belly then distributes energy throughout your body. So Krishna consciousness is something like eating. When you feed your belly, your whole body gets energized. Similarly, when you give devotion to Krishna, who is the energy, the source of all energy, then you become fully energized in every single part of your being becomes fully Krishnized or energized. And not only you, but you're able to energize, everything becomes energized, you see. You can energize the total existence simply by connecting with Krishna. So it's pretty powerful. Of course, it takes time to reach that stage. We see that in great personalities like Srila Prabhupada. We're students of that, you see. But Those personalities have the power to deliver the whole universe. They're so powerful because they've totally dovetailed themselves with Krishna, the Supreme Person. So there's a little bit more understanding of what is Krishna consciousness. It's a wonderful question. Thank you so much. Now another question. You have to help me with these questions. In case I can't hear them, yeah.
Can you still stare at a candle and meditate on Krishna?
Well, you could if you wanted to, but I'd rather look at a picture of Krishna than a candle. I mean, you could. I mean, a devotee can see Krishna because as that verse says, I'm the light of the sun. A candle is actually a portion of the sun's energy. So actually, the candle is also Krishna in that sense, you see. Because it's a portion, it's a small portion of the energy of the sun. So the candle is also Krishna in that sense. But Krishna is more beautiful than a candle. The original form of Krishna, I mean, Krishna's form is amazing. Venum kvanantam adavinda dalaya taksam barhavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandarpakotikamaniya vishesha shobam govindamadipurusham tamaham bhajami. You can't say that about a candle. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept at playing on his flute. Candles don't play flutes. And when Krishna plays his flute, he enchants everyone, you see. In this world, there's some musicians who enchanted a lot of people, just like the Beatles enchanted a lot of people. But go down to the zoo and play a Beatle album for the animals, and they won't care a fig for your Beatle album. Okay? But when Krishna plays his flute, the human beings are enchanted, animals are enchanted, even the grass is enchanted when Krishna plays his flute. So there's a gulf of difference between the candle flame and Krishna, although the candle flame is part of Krishna. That's a great question. Thanks a lot. Any other wonderful questions? Yes. What does it mean when people say Hare Krishna to each other? It's actually the greatest blessing that you could ever give. Because when you say Hare Krishna, you are blessing that person to be directly connected with Krishna or God. It's the greatest blessing. You could say good morning, that's something. Or you could say good eternity, you see. But when you say Hare Krishna, that amps it up a million times more. It's the ultimate good morning. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. You just blessed me. Okay, next question. Yes. What is the fastest way to develop?
What is the best way?
Best way.
To balance being in the present and planning for the future.
Yes. What is the best way to balance being in the present? The thing is, we could die at any minute. Live in such a way that if you were to die right now, you would die in the ultimate best state of consciousness for achieving the spiritual world. And that's called Krishna consciousness. To think of Krishna, to speak of Krishna, to think of Krishna, etc. Always keep yourself in Krishna consciousness. That's the best way to live in the present. At the same time, you shouldn't have some, you know, fatalistic attitude, well, I'm going to die now, so I shouldn't pay my rent. I shouldn't get a degree. Plan to live for 100 years. And live your life in such a way that you're going to live to be 100. And at the same time, be prepared to die at any minute. That's the best way to do it. Yeah. Thanks for that wonderful question. Another wonderful question. Yes.
Last night you were describing how attractive Krishna is. Please, can you say it again?
Oh, Krishna is really attractive. I mean, he's really good looking. I mean, he's really a good looking. He's so beautiful. I mean, every aspect of Krishna is just amazing. Alola Chandakada Sadvanama Yavamsi Radnanganam Pranayakeli Kalavilasham Shabang Tribangaladitam Niyata Prakasham Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajani. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with a moon locket. Do you know how beautiful the moon locket is? Well, Krishna has a moon locket in his garland, beautified with a moon locket. His hands are adorned with flute and jeweled ornaments. He always revels in pastimes of love, and his graceful threefold bending form of Shyam Sundar is eternally manifested. He's not only good looking, but he becomes more beautiful at every minute, and he never gets old. Just imagine, you know, you pick a beautiful flower, and you go, oh, a beautiful flower, but then it starts to fade away, you see. Just imagine a flower that you pick it, and the longer you hold it in your hand, it becomes more fresh, more aromatic for all of eternity. That's Krishna. He's called Navayovanam. He's an ever-fresh youth. So if you're looking for a beautiful person to absorb yourself in, you found him right here, Krishna. And you know what? He's fully present within those two syllables. You don't have to wait to contact Krishna. You can do it right now just by saying, Krishna. He's right there. He's right there. Okay. Thanks a lot for that. Yes.
The relationship of a living entity with Krishna can be in many different ways, such as friend and
parent. Five primary rasas, yeah.
But what is a living entity's relationship with Srimati Radharani?
So there are five primary rasas with Krishna. You can have a neutral relationship, like a rock that Krishna sits on. He's serving Krishna neutrality. You can be a servant of Krishna. You can be a friend of Krishna. You can be a parent of Krishna or a girlfriend of Krishna. So what about Radharani? Well, you could also serve Radharani in neutrality. You could be a servant of Radharani, a friend like a Sakhi of Radharani. You could also be in a parental relationship with Radharani. And you could be by the conjugal relationship, you couldn't have Radharani. She only has one conjugal relationship, and that's with Krishna. You can't have that position. Sorry. That one you cannot have. The other you can have, but not the conjugal. Only Krishna has the conjugal relationship with Radharani. Next question. Yes. God manifestation? God manifestation. Yes, absolutely. The more that you are Krishna conscious, the more God becomes manifested to you. It's an equivalent relationship. God is manifested to you to whatever degree you're awake. If you've awakened your Krishna consciousness 50%, then God is manifested to you 50%, 70%, 100%, like that. Yeah, it's an equivalent relationship, equal relationship. So how much do you want to have God manifested to you? Would you like God fully manifested to you? Then you become fully Krishna conscious, and God will be 100% manifested to you. Okay? Next one. Yes.
In the Gita, what does Krishna mean when he says, although I'm less than all souls, not all souls rest
in me? In the Gita, what does Krishna mean when he says that although all souls rest in me, I don't rest in all souls?
Yes. although everything rests in me, I don't rest in everything. In one sense, Krishna is everywhere. There's one very nice statement given by Srila Prabhupada in his books. He says, there is nothing but Krishna. But nothing is Krishna, save and except his original primeval personality. So when that's, in other words, everything that exists is Krishna expanded out. It's, Krishna is there, and he expands out his energy unlimitedly in millions and billions of living entities and millions and billions of universes. It is all Krishna's expanded energy. So in that sense, Krishna is everywhere, but at the same time, there's a distinction between the potency and the possessor of the potency. So Krishna is everywhere, and he's not at the same time in that way. Does that help a little bit?
No.
No? All right, here's, let me give an example. A little more down-to-earth example. That's very philosophical. I can even give him a verse of the Brahma Samhita that might confuse you even more. It describes it in detail. I'll do that in a minute. But first I'll give you a simple down-to-earth example that Prabhupada uses, the sun. The sun is all-pervading throughout the universe by its sunshine. Just like, even there was that old song that George Harrison wrote, "Here Comes the Sun." Here comes the sun. But did the sun actually come into his room? Or the sun actually appeared in the UK? If it, the sun itself had come, UK would be burned to a crisp, you see. So when he says, "Here comes the sun," he's talking about the sunshine. So, the sunshine is also considered to be the sun. Here comes the sun. I'm seeing this, you know, here comes the sunrise, you know. So the sunshine is the sun and it's not the sun, both at the same time. Does that help a little bit? Yeah. So in that sense. And then in the Brahma Samhita it says, Ekopyaso rachavitan jagananda kotim natsaktarvasti jagananda chayayananda andantara padamana sadvaram sarastam govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. That's another way of saying the same thing. There is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. The sunshine is the potency of the sun, and the possessor of that potency is the sun globe. So, there, in one sense, there's no distinction. The sunshine is also called the sun. But in another sense, there is a distinction. This is a philosophy taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different. It's a little hard to grasp because it is inconceivable. But by careful study and analysis, it starts to become clear. It's like you can have a field of flowers, and they are all flowers. But yet you have distinctions within that. You have daffodils, you have roses, you have gardenias, you see, carnations. So this philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, it really has to be understood to understand all these different statements of Krishna. But if you read Prabhupada's books, I guarantee you it'll start to, the fog will clear and it'll go away and it'll start to become crystal clear. Wow, that's really awesome. Philosophy, you see. So read Prabhupada's books as much as you can and it'll all become very clear to you. You'll see how that simultaneous oneness and difference philosophy is manifested in unlimited number of ways. Okay? Another question. I'm getting near the end now. This is getting this is your last chance. Won't be back for a whole year. I saw a hand there. Maybe he's scratching his nose. Okay.
When you're saying that you should think of Krishna in everything you
When you said Krishna consciousness means always thinking about Krishna no matter what you're doing, how do you balance that? How do you think about the person Krishna while you're doing something else?
You offer those something else to Krishna. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajdahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi kondaya tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So, just for example, many people go to work on Monday morning and that's an austerity. So offer to Krishna, you see. Now I'm going to work for Krishna. I don't claim proprietorship. Now my apartment is Krishna's apartment and my car belongs to Krishna. So everything I have I'm going to use in Krishna's service. Therefore, when I go out to work to maintain these things, I'm doing it for Krishna. So the idea is you have to connect everything with Krishna, and your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. And the advanced devotees who have done this for many years, you can see their example, and they can give you many practical tips on how to do that. But it does work. It's called bhakti yoga. Connect, just like Arjuna was a warrior. If you're familiar with the Gita a little bit, he's a warrior. So how you can be a warrior for Krishna? Well, you fight on the order of Krishna in his case, you see. Actually, he didn't want to fight, but Krishna said, no, I want this battle to take place because there's a mission that has to be done, so you need to do this. So he did it. And that, utilizing his military skills in the service of the Lord, brought him to the liberated platform beyond material existence. So whatever ability you have, use that for Krishna. If you can sing, sing for Krishna. If you can write, write for Krishna. If you can dance, dance for Krishna. If you can paint, paint for Krishna. If you can talk, talk for Krishna. Whatever talent or ability you have, connect that with Krishna and you'll become liberated by the use of your talents. If you can cook, cook for Krishna, you see. If you can travel, we'll travel to the holy places like Vrindavan and Mayapur, you see. Whatever your talents you have, use those in Krishna's service and you'll enter into a transcendental existence beyond all the miseries, the plane of Krishna consciousness. So, let's see, we're running, we have time for one more question? No, that's it. We've hit the end of the rope. So, you all just been delightful. I'm so happy to meet my beloved godbrother Subhavalas Prabhu, very dear godbrother of mine. I just went into ecstasy when I saw him sitting there as I walked in. You all are very fortunate to have his association and his good wife and my god sister here also. It's very Prahara. Yeah, so nice to see her as well. And I'm just all delighted that all of you are here. And please continue in this way, expanding this Krishna consciousness in this part of the world so that your high court judges here in Canada are all wearing tilak as soon as possible. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.